If you turn to Psalm 37, we're just going to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 37 this morning. We don't have a lot of time. Psalm 37, this is the title today, God Will Come Through, Part 1. How many of y'all ever doubt God will come through? How many of y'all sometimes embarrassed about doubting that God will come through? Let me ask you something. If you walk with the Lord any distance of time, has the Lord ever failed you? Has he always come through? And particularly if you walked with him for a long time. Am I right? Joan, you've known the Lord a long time. Has he ever failed you? No. Now, things may not have come out exactly like you thought, perhaps, right? But in the end, the way things worked out, they really were for the good, right? And the further you get away, the more you realize, gosh, I'm really glad that what I thought and wanted didn't happen. Because what ultimately did happen was for the ultimate, eternal good of me and not what I wanted. Amen? But, you know, the enemy never quits. I don't care what comes down. We still get hit with the doubt. God's not going to come through here. Okay, granted, he's come through the last 33 years, every single day, hour and minute. Granted, but this situation, he won't. And we go, huh? Really? I mean, we buy it. And you say, well, why do we buy it? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we're dumb sheep. Amen? We are. Bible says all like sheep have gone astray. Baloney. We're a sheep. We are sheep. You know, a sheep will look at a hole and fall in it. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb of this field. I like the King James says, fret not. And you know what? Listen, it says fret not against evildoers. You know, we spend, listen carefully, a lot of our time fretting about evil. There are three types of evil we fret about. You ready? First, we fret about evil in the world. We fret about, we're afraid of the future. What's coming? I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to fret about the cost of gasoline. In the last 2 months, I have never seen it go up. I'm glad I got me a Honda 750 motorcycle, but even that thing's getting expensive to fill up. Gasoline is going up. Fortunately, I do want to know one thing, and I'm going to encourage you with this. This is a reality. As we do our in what's called a free market system, ultimately it will come down, okay? Now, I don't think we'll ever see dollar gasoline again, okay? But I do believe it will find its level. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to keep going up and up. But it is a thing we can fret. How many things are going on in the world? How many of y'all fret about things going on in the world? Nobody. Well, maybe you don't know anything going on in the world. Well, that's probably good. Less to fret about it. Well, there's some wisdom in that. I would have you to be simple concerning evil and wise concerning good. It's not necessary. Now, I'm a voracious reader. I just said I'm an inquisitive mind, always curious about everything. But nevertheless, that can get you in trouble because you learn too much about everything. You start worrying about stuff you shouldn't be worried about. You know, are the Serbians going to be able to accomplish that new election? Who gives a whatever that's going to happen? Now, you know, now I'll be honest with you. There was so much negative stuff about the Iraq war. And yet in the end, guess what? It's working out. It's working. It's fading off the front. All right, we have a leader who stood forth, did, in spite of all kind of opposition, and brought forth. It'll all come back when they put Saddam on the stand. And it'll all come back in the news again. But that will succeed. But it's possible you'd all fret about the world. I really don't think it's good to always, every evening, watch all the news. Because it's not news, it's olds. They really need to say CBS olds. Because it's not news. What's new about it? It's always somebody died. A train got wrecked. A plane got crashed. Am I right? How about the second area we tend to fret about is evil. The next evil we fret about is inside yourself. You know what you call fretting about evil in yourself? Guilt. Shame. Condemnation. Self-rejection. Timidity. Shame. All these things. This is fretting about evil in you. Focusing on evil in you, always getting down on yourself about your evil, your propensity to evil. And the enemy's always there to play that up. Oh, man, you know. You think you fell before. Look about, what about now? You'll never overcome this. And so we tend to fret about evil inside ourselves. Or the third area is we tend to fret, listen, about evil in others. How do you fret about evil in others? You judgmentalism. Are you intimidated by others? Are you defensive about others? Or fear of man? These are ways which we fret. So he says, fret not thyself against evildoers. And there's so much evil out there. Fretting about evil in ourself, the potential there. Fretting about this evil we see in others. Fretting about evil in the world. But look at the promise in verse 2. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither. You know, the truth is, here's the bottom line. Romans, I think it's the last chapter, said, I would have you to be simple concerning evil and wise concerning it. God wants evil to be a non-existent notion in your mind. He doesn't, you want you to fret or ponder over evil. You know, God is able to turn all things around for what? For the good. When we know the Lord, we know God has everything under control. Psalm 103 says he is sovereign over all, has everything under control. In fact, there's a verse in, I got to turn to this, is cool. This just popped in my brain. Ecclesiastes, about the evil we see in the world. Let's see if I can find this. Yes, Ecclesiastes 5:8 says, listen to this. If you see the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a proverb, in other words, you're watching the evening news, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regards, and they'll be higher than they. In other words, you're looking at the news. God's looking at the news. Don't worry. He's in charge. He's going to redeem it. Ultimately, all things are going to come to the bar. It really grieved me the other day when Johnny Cochran died. Now, it didn't grieve me particularly that Johnny Cochran died. I mean, I neither had no emotion about one way or the other. But what grieved me was when they interviewed O.J. Simpson. And O.J. Simpson was so grateful for Johnny Cochran, praising him to high heaven, saying Johnny is basically the reason I got. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm of the personal belief that O.J. Simpson was guilty with a capital G. Okay, and that was the biggest sham, and he bought justice. You know, justice can be bought in our culture. And he had a lot of money, and he bought justice. And O.J. Simpson stood there, this man who killed his ex-wife and her boyfriend or whatever, cold-blooded murder. And y'all remember back in the 90s, guys, can you believe it's been about 10 years? And he got scot-free. Well, you know what? He's not scot-free. One day, justice will come to the bar. One day, O.J. is going to meet his maker. And everything that was lied and twisted in that notorious trial thrown to our media for, 8 months, is going to come down to the bar, and he's going to pay. It's all going to come down in justice one day. Can you imagine? Every mountain will be laid low. Every valley, the crooked will be made straight. Righteousness will prevail. One day, it's all going to be straightened out. And we can look to that day. It's not that far away. Praise God. Justice will prevail. And so God wants evil to be a non-existent notion in our mind, to not ponder on evil. Because Satan wants to lure us and seduce us, like I said, deceive us with evil and distract us with evil. And Jesus said, you know, seek first the kingdom. Now look at verse 3. Psalms 37:3. We're just going to look at two or three of these verses today. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Praise God. Now the problem is, there's a difference between trust and believe. Okay? Trust in the Lord and do good. I think you start out as a Christian believing. You believe because you don't understand. You don't have much experience. But trust is a result of experience. Trust is a result of knowing character and faithfulness. And that's true with a friend. You ever have a relationship with somebody, you don't know them very well, and you're trying to maybe develop in the relationship, and issues come up with it, entail some kind of level of trust. And it's kind of an act of faith in the early stages of a relationship, whether you can trust. Amen? I mean, I deal with a lot of clients in my business that I have. And you know what? Fortunately, I come in with a lot of credibility because of the company I work with. But nevertheless, who am I? Some of them they've never seen before. And I'm sitting there talking to them about their investments and their retirement plans. Significant sums of money. So a lot of times, it's an act of faith. Well, the guy seems credible. And he comes with this person whom I know is credible. And the company seems credible. But it's still, it's an act of faith. Because, you know, they, fundamentally, they don't know who I am. But, you know, over time, when you develop a relation with someone and they know me and they know my character, they know who I am, it's not faith anymore, it's trust. I trust the guy. He has proven himself to be credible in that area. And it's the same thing with the Lord. In the beginning, over time, we understand he's trustworthy. We can trust the Lord. And I've just gotten to the point I can remember freaking out over little stuff. I mean, tiny stuff. I remember one time in the early 80s or late 70s. Yeah, about 81, 82, I don't know. Somewhere I had a Volkswagen. This is 77. I had a Volkswagen. Okay, I bought this Volkswagen for $400. And, man, that was a lot of money back then. All right. And so I had this Volkswagen, and I had to drive from my home in the East End all the way to Campbell Road exit off of 290. That's where my office was. I worked for a building design firm. And it was a great job, and I loved it, and I was learning things. And I was so scared. And it turns out the guy who hired me went to my church. He was a good guy. The president of the company went to my church. His name was Harold Clothier. A really cool guy, and he hired me, and we were friends. In fact, he even lent me the money to buy the Volkswagen. Okay, and I paid him back, no interest, so good guy. Yet, nevertheless, even though Harold was my boss, he was a brother in the Lord, he lent me the money for my car. It was, I'd just gotten out of a community household. One day, I couldn't get my Volkswagen started. Okay, now Volkswagen, so those old kind, remember the old bugs? You just put a paper clip, a little bubble gum in the back, man, get that thing going. I don't know, it's this tiny little engine about the size of a Bible, you know. But one day I couldn't get it started. I remember freaking out. I remember being terrorized. I'm going to lose my job. And I'll lose my job. Then I can't pay my rent. And I'll lose this rent house I'm in. I mean, it just built in my mind. And then I have to move home with my folks again. Oh, my God. I mean, it just went on and on. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And it went worse from there, and I'm freaking out. You know, one of the guy next door had a shade tree mechanic next door. You know, the old guy. He came over, just fiddled with this, did that, it worked. Okay, God, you came through. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, and I understood back then. I was relatively new in the Lord. But you know, there's no excuse for that kind of behavior now. I don't have to go all this history of what, oh, and this. No, God's going to come through. And even if things don't work out, God's going to just, because he's got something else in mind. Amen? Can we trust him? Praise God. So, let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, you know how many people take this thing out of context? Oh, the Lord will give me the desires of my heart. You ever heard that? You know, they're out doing something. Well, the Lord gives you desires of your heart. These word faith people. Well, I'm claiming and standing and believing the Lord for this mighty whatever material good, material thing. Because the Lord gives me the desires of my heart. Well, you know what I've noticed in the Bible generally when there's a promise, there's a condition. And what is the condition in this verse? What's the condition for the desires? Anybody? But verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Now, does anybody know what that means, to delight yourself in the Lord? Does somebody have another version that maybe uses another word? You're talking about verse 4. That's verse 5. Now, verse 4 is delight yourself in the Lord. Huh? You know what delight yourself in the Lord basically means? Can I be honest with you? I think it means love the Lord. Just love the Lord. Love the Lord. Have a relationship with the Lord. That's all it really means. It's just engage the Lord. Involve the Lord. Refer to the Lord. Default to the Lord. Call on the Lord. Bring him into the picture. That's all it means. Nothing big, profound. You know how easy it is to go through life and not draw the Lord in? People do it all the time. We do it. Self-sufficient. Full of ourselves. We can be in control. All it means is to stop and think, oh, hello, God. The infinite, eternal God who fills every speck of the universe. Forgive me for just motoring along in my own speed here. Amen? That's all it means, is engage the Lord. That's why I believe in praise breaks. You know, stop and praise him. Just stop. Remember that 10 lepers and one? Only one guy came back, and Jesus said, what? Why'd only one come back? First thing Noah did out of the boat, I don't know about you. I have to commend Noah for this. But he had been in this enclosed building, closure. And the ark was like a big box car. That's all the way. It was a box car, really. They know where it is. They've seen it. It's clear out of the way. It was not this curved thing you see the kid. It was a box car, three levels. And you know why they have three levels? The first level was where the family lived and they stored food. The second level was the animals. You know what the third level was? Hello? What do animals do after they eat a lot of food? Yes. And it went down. That was the ballast of the boat. Okay? Lots of it. Knee deep. Okay? In the boat. It was lots of it. It was animal refuse. Dump. All of them out of the boat. And they're in this enclosed boat. All these days. And finally, the door opens. And Moses, fresh air. Don't, I knew that. I was just saying if you're listening. One little window. Hanging there. They finally get out. Now, I don't know about you, but what did Noah do? He built an altar. And he gave thanks. He said, oh, thank you, God. I'm out of that box. He gave thanks. Amen. Those animals were glad to get out of there, too. Praise God. Folks, that's all it means. God will give you the desires of your heart. And what I've found is when you engage the Lord, involve the Lord, fall to the Lord, talk to the Lord, refer to the Lord, guess what? Your heart will be the Lord's. Because wherever your treasure is, there is your what? Your heart. And when your heart is the Lord's, then guess what? The desires of your heart begins to be the desires of the Lord. For you. What he wants for you. That's going to be, and he will give you. We ask anything according to his will. If it's according to his will, we know we have the petitions that we desired, he says in 1 John 5. So he gives your heart, and he gives you promises. He quickens things. He makes things real, and you know what the Lord speaks will happen. You know it. You know that you know it. Because you delight in him, you fellowship with him, and it comes to pass. Amen? God told me back in the 70s, I remember when he told me what I would be doing that I'm doing right now in my life. He told me. He clearly told me. Back when I was first saved, I was in Dallas at Christ for the Nations and came back to Beaumont. I remember the Lord speaking to me back then that there would be a time later in my life that he said, I'm going to use you to teach my word and I will open the door to travel and teaching ministry. He told me that in the 70s. I remember thinking, what? Had no conclusion, but he told me, and he's brought it to pass. Been through all kind of bumpy roads, and God has a promise for you. I'm sure God has whispered things to you, spoken things to you. Folks, if it's from his heart, he's going to bring it to pass. Last place we're going to look this morning, verse 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. You know, the margin reads, roll. Is that how you version it? Roll your way upon the Lord. I remember that, man. Reminds me of that song. Jesus took my burdens and he rolled them in. Okay. Roll your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And look at this. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Now, you know what that says to me in conclusion this morning? This is part one. That one day, everything that's done in secret will be shouted from the housetop. One day, everything will be made right. One day, the Lord will vindicate. He will bring forth your righteousness and your judgment. Everything will be made right. Everything that's hidden will be known. Everything that's wrong will be made right. One day, it's all going to be vindicated. I was reading, in fact, the reading for today in the one-year Bible is in Luke 13. And I was really pounding the scripture where he said, I think it was today. How many of y'all read the one-year Bible? It was, Lord, are there few that be saved? Was that today's? And he said, basically, right. There's few. because many are going to go and look, but only few can find the right way. And he says, many are going to come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And he said, I don't know you. And then I like the last part of that reading today. And they came up to him and says, Herod is after you. You need to flee. And I love this. Jesus said, you go tell that fox, I cast out demons. You know what he was inferring? I don't run from him. I cast out demons. Jesus had no shame. That's why the Lord quickened that to me this morning. He had no shame about casting out demons. He boldly said it. You go tell that heathen ruler, I cast out. I'm in the deliverance ministry. Amen? So the point is that one day it's all going to be vindicated, all going to be appropriated, all going to be released. It's all going to come to pass. And you can rest in that. You can cast your care. If you're waiting for it all to happen now, folks, you may wait in vain. It may not happen in your lifetime, but it will happen. Amen? God may vindicate and bring everything to pass in your lives. You know, he told Simon, he said, Simon, you will not die until you see the Messiah. Now, that was a special promise. And you know, I actually believe the Lord has probably spoken that to some others about the second coming. Remember the first coming? The Lord told this old man, some little old man, probably all the religious leaders passed him up. Sorry, I'm just kind of, you know, they were too important to have time. This is the one God spoke to. Some little old gray man with his little walker and his green tennis balls, I don't know, coming up the temple every day. And God spoke to him, says he will not die until he sees the Messiah. Remember that? And the day they brought Jesus in to be circumcised, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Go to the temple today. And he went in, and this guy went over to this little baby, put his hand, picked up the baby, said, mine eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. Oh, Lord, now take me. I want him to depart in peace. You know, fortunately, in his case, he was able to see the consummation in his life before he died. Some of us aren't going to see. Some of us here, I believe some of us here are going to see the second coming. Some of you little ones. See Chaz over there? I'm serious. James, I think that generation may very well see the second coming. Dude, you want to be walking with the Lord. Hey, you hearing me? You want to be walking with the Lord when he comes again. The ultimate light show. Jesus coming again. All right? You really don't want to have to run to the rocks and beg the rocks to fall on you and crush you and hide you from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. Can I have amen? But others of us that are older, we may not see the second coming. We will see it, just from a different vantage point. But how many of y'all want to see everything made right? You got stuff in your that's just wrong. You want to see stuff made right. In the world, in your personal life, folks, that's the promise. He will bring it to pass. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank you for your promise. We ask you to forgive us today for the propensity to focus on evil in ourself, to get caught up in the frustration, discouragements of the world. Lord, to even focus on the evil. Lord, forgive us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful, you're in charge, you're sovereign. We have nothing to fear as we call on you and engage in you and involve you and pray to you and worship you and stop off in the day and thank you and get involved in you. Lo and behold, you grant the desires of our heart. You change our heart. We don't want the stuff. We want you. We want the things that are substantive for eternity. And then, ironically, then you give us more stuff we can handle. But our heart's not in it anymore. And Lord, I thank you that one day you're going to make it all right. It's all going to be made right. Everything's going to be lined out. The last to be first and the first last. The little Simons that everybody, all the religious leaders passed up, they're going to be front in the line. And all the great ones, Lord, may have to wait a long time. We thank you, Jesus. Use us, Father. Use our life. Make it valuable to you. We want to be more important to you than the world, Lord. We pray we'd be pleasing to you. Pleasing in your eyes. Our lives would be pleasing in your eyes, Jesus. You would look down and smile on us and use us for the furtherance of your kingdom in our lives. Lord, we lay our lives at your feet. We want to experience abundant life as we lose our life to find it. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I speak a blessing over this body, Lord. Bless. Lord, encourage. Give us eyeballs of eternity. See beyond today and this month and this year. Lord, let our eyes see the land very far off. Lord, when we see in this beautiful springtime coming up, Lord, the trees coming out with all the leaves, the beautiful flowers, the birds chirping, Lord, the sign of the spring. Lord, let us remind us there is a springtime coming in eternity. There's a dawn coming, Lord. Help us see through this time of the season of the year into this eternal season that's coming, Lord, that we long for. All creation yearns for that time.